This past Mitzvah Shabbos, right after Shabbos was over here in this building, one of the members of the Chinuch staff came running into the Beis Medrash, where the Masmidim are, and we make our own Havdalah because we have our own minyan. And one of the members of the Chinuch staff said, "Oh, thank God you have your own Havdalah. I need to hear Havdalah again." So I was curious what was wrong with the first Havdalah. He said, "I don't know if I was Yotzei or not. It was like a whole musical thing with microphones and whatever, and I'm not sure if I was Yotzei." Now, if I'm not mistaken, when I've been here for Havdalah, they're pretty makbid that the actual brachos are not recited over a microphone. That the actual brachos, they put the microphone aside and they stop the music for the actual Baruch Ata Hashems. The Hine Kel Yishuasi, the singing and the psukim in advance, that you can have all the microphones you want and you can have all the music you want, because that's not really part of Havdalah. Those are cheerful psukim that sort of get us into the mode of Havdalah. For example, if you're talking from the beginning to end of Hine Kel Yishuasi, as it might happen that a camper here and there might utter a sound at some point during that, right? So you're totally Yotzei Havdalah. But during the brachos, you got to be quiet and listening. Shemei Ko'one, you need those brachos. So I thought it would be a good opportunity to talk about whether you can be Yotzei brachos when you hear them through a microphone. This comes up all the time. On every camp trip, it probably comes up. Why? Feels like derech, always over a microphone, usually, if you're on a coach bus at least. Yesterday I saw there were school buses, they didn't do coach buses.
Even those shots, sometimes they do over the mic.
Really? Here?
Yeah,
or
as
if
like
they're
in
the
sound.
Really?
That's recorded.
In for which part? Were you paying attention? No, because it could be that he was. It could be that he's being careful about which ones to be in. Okay. Or if you ever go to a wedding, they say the brachas. I asked Mori Rabbi of Mordechai Willick at a wedding whether he uses a microphone. He said that he does not, that he won't use a microphone when he's a Masar Kiddushin under a chuppah. He says, "I try to project as loudly as I can, but I won't use a microphone." He said, "When I was younger, and everyone else under the chuppah, the parents of the chassan and kala were older than me and whatever, so, and they were sticking a microphone in front of my face, so I didn't make a fight about it, I didn't make a stink about it." He said, "But now I'm the oldest person under the chuppah. I could do whatever I want." So you get to a certain age or a certain stature, and you're able to call the shots, I guess. There was an old episode of Seinfeld. You ever heard of Seinfeld? Yeah. There's an old episode of Seinfeld with Keith Hernandez, who was the all-star first baseman for the Mets. The Mets used to have all-stars.
They rule about that now.
What?
Every team must have someone at the all-star.
Oh, so what do they call that? When they have to let the Hispanics, a certain number of Hispanic kids and black kids in affirmative action, right? So the Mets are the beneficiaries of affirmative action, that they get an all-star. But so there was an episode of Seinfeld where Keith Hernandez was in it, and Keith Hernandez would just do these ridiculous things, and when people would call him out on it, like, "What are you doing? Like, normal, nice people don't do that." "Well, I'm Keith Hernandez. I could do whatever I want, because I'm Keith Hernandez." So, like, it reminded me a little bit of that. Like, I'm a villain. You can yell all you want, but so not in that sense, chas v'shalom, not in a gaiva sense of any way, but he got to call, but that's what he passes to Allah, that really ideally should not be through a microphone. Why? What's the problem with going through a microphone? So where's the sugya and shas about using microphones for Shomer Ko'one?
Nowhere.
Why is the sugya nowhere? Because obviously there are microphones. So what do we have to look at to even figure out? At least we should be able to look at Rishonim or early Achronim. So there are two Achronim that people try to use as sort of like a starting point.
And they use the Gemara Shana about a Bunga Shofar down.
So they talk about that as well. Kol Havara, when you hear an echo. Right, that you're not Yotzei Shofar. So we'll get to that as well, hopefully. The first is there's a tshuva in the Halachos Ketanos who distinguishes between what you'd call a kol havara, which is an echo, and a baskol. And it says a baskol is something that is no longer at all connected to the origin. whereas a kol havara, an echo, is still connected to the voice of origin. And based on that distinction that he has between a bas kol and a kol havara, as if we have any understanding what a bas kol is to begin with, right? Meaning, like, it's very hard to, like, develop halacha categories of things that are completely supernatural events that we've never experienced and we therefore don't really know how they work. But nevertheless, that's what he comments. So based on that, the editor of the Sefer Halachos Ketanos added in a line where he says, "Lefi zeh lo yetzei im shama tkiyah shofar megillah al yidei phonograph v'telephone." A person shouldn't be able to be yotzei if they hear tkiyah shofar or mikra megillah through a microphone or a telephone or something like that. Why? Because apparently the way he's understanding it is it's divorced from the original sound. What you're hearing is not, you know, the original sound plus, or, you know, some hemshech of the original sound. You're hearing something totally separate from the original sound. Very hard to understand, like, what at all the connection is, or what it's even talking about to begin with. So that is one maramakom that they use, but again, very, very hard to relate to that as a reasonable maramakom. The other maramakom that they use from early Achronim is Rav Yosef Engel. Rav Yosef Engel is one of these. Not one of these. He was really one of a kind. He was a super duper genius, nigla nistar. Everything he thought of things in his own way, like came up with his own halacha categories that no one else even thought of. Like, for example, you know that there's a sugya in Shas about shomea kaona, which is this topic of here. When you listen, it's like you said. There's a sugya in Shas about asei dochalos asei. There's a sugya in Shas about, like, he came up with, like, sugyas that the Gemara never even talked about these categories. Like, for example, he said he has one essay where he says, I wonder if there's such a thing as, if we can prove quantity versus quality in Judaism. What matters more, greater quantity of mitzvahs or greater quality of mitzvahs? So what would you think? Right, to do more mitzvahs or fewer mitzvahs, but do it better? Proof?
For people who did one mitzvah well and then they got all mad.
Okay, I'm sure there are people that did a lot of mitzvahs also got all mitzvahs. So Yosef Engel said, I could think of 18 rayas from Shas and Poskim. Like, unbelievable. He just takes you through, like, things you would never have associated. 18 rayas, Shas and Poskim. And Nigla Nistar, everything. He was a phenomenal, phenomenal genius. So anyway, Rav Yosef Engel in his Sefer, Gilyone HaShas, which is not to be confused with Gilyon HaShas. Gilyon HaShas is the Kiveger on the side of the Gemara. Gilyone HaShas is Rav Yosef Engel. You got to be careful when you name a sefer. It's probably not a great idea to name a sefer too similarly to an existing sefer. When there's a sefer called Badei HaShulchan, which is like a Mishabura type of sefer in Yaradeya, Shulchan Aruch Yaradeya. Rav Willick told us that at the same time the Badei HaShulchan was published, there was another sefer, same idea. Someone came up with the same idea about 30 years ago, 40 years ago, came up with the same idea of publishing like a Mishnah Berurah type sefer on the section of Shulchan Aruch that Mishnah Berurah didn't write on in Yaradeya, which is one of the sections that Mishnah Berurah didn't write on. And, you know, 40 years ago, two rabbis came up with the same idea, same time, and they both put out Sfarim. And the Badei HaShulchan became like this super popular sefer you find in every yeshiva, and the other one no one buys, and you never even heard of. Why? Because the other one called the sefer Mishnah Berurah, and people thought that that's a chutzpah. You can't call your sefer Mishnah Berurah. They put it in Chirim and no one buys it. But the Badei HaShulchan became popular because you got to be careful. Like, you can't, like, write a sefer and call it Tanakh. You know, like, you're not allowed to do that. You know, there are limitations. You know, you can't write a sefer and call it Talmud Bavli.
People are upset at the Rambam for that now.
People are upset at the Rambam for how he titled his sefer, but not because he named it after, but because of his reasoning behind it. I mean, the Rambam, when he wrote his sefer, when he wrote what we call the Arach HaZaka, but he never called it the Arach HaZaka, he called it Mishnah Torah. So why did he call it Mishnah Torah? So he explains in his introduction, because to be a good Jew, all you need is a Tanakh and my book, and then you'll have everything you need to know. So Mishnah Torah means like it's a summary of all of Torah. So you don't need anything else. Tanakh and my book, and you're good to go. So people thought that was a little, how shall we say, overstated, maybe, in terms of the importance of his own book. So they thought that was a chutzpah for him to say that. And they therefore said, you know what, it is a very strong book. It is a good, you know, it's a good book. You can't deny it. So we're going to call it the Yad HaChazaka, because there are 14 parts to it, so Yud Dalet, Yad. Sometimes Sfarim are named after Gematria. You have that very, very frequently. For example, there's a sefer called Kavad de Kashyasa. Kavad de Kashyasa, Kuf Beis Aleph. Kavad de Kashyasa, which literally means a certain measure, Kav is a certain measure of grain. Right? Kavad is an expression the Gemara uses, Kavad de Kashyasa. But it's a play on words. The Kavad de Kashyasa is a collection of 103 questions that the author has, that the only thing all 103 questions have in common is that he doesn't have an answer to any of them. So Kava is Kuf Beis Aleph is 103, and Kashyasa, he says not Kashyasa but Kushyasa. It's Kava to Kushyasa. He has 103 Kushyas that he doesn't have. So sometimes you have Gematria's play a role in the naming of Sfarim. There's a wonderful Sefer Hakona Olama, which is the exact Gematria of what?
Now Aaron was telling me about this. It's Gematria's.
Yeah, it's Gematria of my name, Varietzvi. So yeah, okay. Where were we? Oh yeah, Rav Yosef Engel. Rav Yosef Engel writes that if you hear shofar or megillah through a telephone, he says he raises the issue. He says, is that called shmia? So he quotes a Tshuvas Shvus Yaakov, who quotes from Rav David Oppenheim, okay, that you're allowed to speak through a microphone on Shabbos, even though, as not as far as the electricity is concerned, meaning if we could somehow get rid of that problem, even though the voice is going to be heard chutz l'tchum. Tchum? What's tchum?
2,000 miles.
Yeah, so you're not allowed to walk more than 2,000 miles outside of the city. So what does that do to my voice? If, let's say you're very loud. You have a super loud voice and you're able to project chutz l'tchum. One of my children is able to do this probably. We haven't tested it, but he probably, not this one. But he probably has the ability. I couldn't find where the Masmid more or less. So I just followed his voice. And I was able to find, you know, project really, really loudly. When he was in preschool, the Mora said, he should be a rabbi. he can project really, really well. So the Shvus Yaakov discusses that it's not a violation of Chutz L'Tchum. So Rav Yosef Engel says, what's the Havamina that it's called Chutz L'Tchum if your voice goes Chutz L'Tchum? The Gemara says, if you have a behema that's outside of the Tchum, Kori Lavihi Ba'a, that you're allowed to call the animal and it will come, and we're not worried that you're going to come to go to where the animal is. But we never find that there's a half a minute to be motzi a kol to for a voice to go chutz l'tchum. So says Rav Yosef Engel, ubizichroni misifrei hamechakrim hativiim. He says when I try to remember my science books that I've read, de'ein hakol atzmo shel hamedaber hu abal l'shomea. The voice that is emitted from your vocal cords, or from my vocal cords, let's say right now, is not the voice that you are hearing. Why? V'ach kol ha-medaber mar'id chilek ha'avir shesomech lo. My voice makes waves in the air, in the atmosphere, that's near where I am. V'chilek zeh l'somech lo. And those waves will affect the waves that are right, sound waves that are right next to it based on the atmosphere. And that's why if I put a pillow in front of my mouth while I'm talking, or if I talk underwater, the voice can't be heard, because it's not just the voice that's coming out, it's the atmosphere that's affecting the voice. And if I'm in a room like this where there's not much in the room and it's pretty empty, there's a slight echo. And if you're in a room that has padded walls, there's no echo, right? Because it's not really the voice that you're hearing, it's the effect of the voice as it goes through the atmosphere that's around it. So he says, that's the way all sound works. So he says, and if that's the case, he doesn't even understand at all what it means for a voice to go chutz l'tchum. Your voice is never going anywhere, because it's a new voice. Every inch that it travels, it's a different voice. And therefore, what does that have to do with microphones? Why?
It's the same thing as your regular voice.
A microphone is the same thing as your regular voice. I mean, even my regular voice is not really my voice. So a microphone is not my voice, and therefore it shouldn't be a problem. Can you argue with that?
Yeah, they're different.
It's a whole another step removed. Meaning a microphone is not even the sound waves to the sound waves to the sound waves, but it's taking those waves and turning them into other waves in the speaker.
Right. Or maybe put a little differently. it may not be, you know, scientifically that what you're hearing is my voice, but if, you know, but it's still a natural process. You know, it's still within the natural process of without using any foreign, you know, influences. It's a natural process. As opposed to when you're introducing a microphone, which makes a whole, like you were saying, makes a whole separate separate sound waves. So that's, it's another step removed, and it's not even part of the natural process. So there is a major discussion. Rosh Shlomo Zalman Auerbach suggests that we should be machmir about this, but he quotes that the Chazon Ish was making to use microphones. He says that he had published an essay where he said that it was Asr, and then he met the Chazon Ish. Rav Shlomo Zalman was very young when he started studying electricity and halacha. In fact, Rav Shlomo Zalman's first book was a book about electricity, and he was, I think, a teenager. I think he was 19 when he published the Sefer. Maybe 20 or 21, but I think he was 19 when he published the Sefer, and no one knew who he was. People just saw the book, and they assumed it was written by like a 70-year-old posek. And that's where people realized this guy may not just be a regular guy. You know, that Rosh Shlomo Zalman sort of like put himself on the map with that book. But he studied electricity at a very, very young age. And he said that after he published his essay suggesting that that sound through a microphone is not a valid way of being Yotzei. He saw the Chazon Ish, and the Chazon Ish says that he thinks that it's mutter. And he says, when the Gemara says, im kol havara shama lo yatsa, the Gemara says, that you said before, that when you blow a shofar into a pit, and you hear an echo of the shofar, you're not Yotzei. He says, that's because the kol havara is not simultaneous to the actual call. Meaning when you hear an echo, you hear it a second later. When you hear it through a microphone, you hear it that moment. Is that true?
No.
It's not true.
It's the same note in such a meaning seconds later.
What?
It's time spread.
I mean, there is a speed of sound, obviously, but it's and the microphone slows it down even further.
The PA system, you and like sometimes I walk by the HD and I hear whoever is speaking, I hear them speaking, then like 2 seconds later I'll hear the announcer number.
Right. So I guess it's less discernible that it's not at the same moment. I guess that's what the Chazon Ish means. Either way, Rosh Shlomo Zalman writes that he doesn't understand what the Chazon Ish meant by that. He thinks that it's a davar pashut, that it's not the same voice, and that it's not okay. But nevertheless, Rav Moshe Feinstein was also maker on this issue. He says, Rav Moshe Feinstein writes, what does he say? He says the same svara, that even your regular voice is not really your voice, it's really something else that you're hearing. Now this is a unique situation, because the Chazon Ish was the most respected posek in Eretz Yisrael in the middle part of the 20th century. The most respected posek in America, the other large Jewish center of, you know, place of Jewish living, the most respected posek in America in the middle part of the 20th century was Moshe Feinstein. Every other posek has a problem with it. Every other major posek pretty much has a problem with microphones. But the two greatest poskim of their time did not have a problem with it. So that's why it's become somewhat of a touchy issue. Because, you know, sometimes, I guess we were talking before about quantity versus quality, right? What about in machlokas ha-poskim? You have the quality of the poskim that are machmir about the issue is like off the charts. The quantity, though, very much goes in the other direction. So usually in halacha, when we say achirav nahatos, we follow majority opinion in Beis Din, let's say, right? Even if, let's say, you have dayanim that are voting on a case. So how many members are there of Sanhedrin Katana? 23 judges, right? So let's say the two biggest ones paskin one way, and the other 21 vote the other way. How do we paskin? At the rov, right? Acharei Mahatos. We do not go with quality. But that's when it's like a formal voting system. We do not always go by rov when it comes to a machlokas haposkim, right? Meaning if you have, let's say, a personal tradition, let's say you are a Chabad family, Right? There's a boy in the Masmidim this year, a phenomenal boy, who comes from a family that has follows Chabad traditions. So the Shulchan Aruch Rav, first of Babich Rebbe, is not always on the side of the majority. Nobody's following the tradition. Right? From that, so sometimes you don't always go by Rav. It's Rav Vadya Yosef is accused as having paskind always based on Rav, accused as if like he's doing something wrong. That he collects all the shitos, that he definitely did. He collected all the shitos. There was nothing that escaped his attention. He had a ridiculous memory, unbelievable ability to just read through enormous amounts of material. Quantitatively, Rav Vadya Yosef knew more Torah than any human being in the history of the world, because thousands of new svarim are published every year, and he read all of them. So, like, you know, as much as Rav Chaim Ozer knew, he probably knew what was published up until that point. Rav Vadya Yosef read everything after that too. So Rav Vadya is incredible, but the accusation against him was that he just went with the rove. I don't think that's what he really did, by the way. I think what he really did is he came to an opinion, and then he quoted a few poskim on that side, and he quoted everyone that said, like, his opinion, so it made it look like, you know, his opinion was the rove. Yeah.
Would that be the same halacha for Kriyas HaTorah? Because they did that on the microphone today also.
Did Kriyas HaTorah on the microphone?
Yeah. Yeah.
You couldn't hear the kid. I moved closer and still couldn't hear.
So when it comes to a situation where... So when it comes to these kinds of situations, so you do have Rav Moshe and the Chazon Ish to rely on. So we're dealing with pretty big people. We're not talking about small people. But then there are those that suggest that maybe it depends on what the halacha is. You know, maybe for certain halachas we can rely on it, and for other halachas we won't rely on it. In the Sefer Nefesh HaRav. Nefesh HaRav, familiar with the Sefer?
Yeah,
it's from Schachter's Sefer about Salvation and Hagos. He spoke about one time there was a Balkore who let one of the Balabatim in the Shul know that he can't stand him, and that when I read the Torah in Shul, I'm not being motzi you. I'm being motzi everybody else. So the Balabas went to Rav Moshe Salvechik, and he said, do I need to daven in a different shul to be Yotzei Kriyas HaTorah? Right? I mean, the best thing to do is try to get mechila for whatever it is you did to the guy, you know. But, okay, let's say I can't. So, I need to go somewhere else. So, Salvechik said, the Gemara says, HaKol Olim Minyan Shiva, Afilu Katan, Afilu Isha, that there used to be that there was no such thing as a Balkare, that everyone who got an aliyah to the Torah would read his own aliyah. I believe the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah says that if someone is not mechuyuv bedavar, they can't be motzi other people, they're chiyuv. So how could the Gemara say, Medina de Gemara, a katan, an isha, can be motzi other people? How are they being motzi me in Kriyas HaTorah if they're not chayiv in Kriyas HaTorah? So says Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, you're not relying on the Balkari to be motzi. What the Balkari is doing is he's reading Torah, which is an exercise of Talmud Torah that he's doing out loud. Kriyas HaTorah is that everyone is listening to the Balkari, so we're all participating in a public Talmud Torah. So even if the Balkari has kavana not to be motzi somebody, that's like saying, that's like saying, he gives a mashal, I have two Talmidim in the shir, let's say, and one of the Talmidim is very smart, but I can't stand the guy. So I'm having in mind, when I say this year, I'm not being motzi him in Talmud Torah. But another one doesn't follow a word I say. He doesn't understand anything, but he's such a sweetie pie. So I'm having in mind that I want to be motzi him in Talmud Torah. Right? That doesn't work like that. Who's mekayim the mitzvah of Talmud Torah? The one who understands. He's the one that's mekayim the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. So it could be specifically by Kriyas HaTorah. There's more reason to be mekayim when it comes up, because you don't even need to be motzi the other person. You just need to have this effect of Talmud Torah, Virabim. Okay, we will stop there. Have a great day, everybody.